Most can go see a doctor and get treatment if, God forbid, they ever get sick.
Former baseball star Doug DeCince is convicted on 14 federal insider trading charges. He could face decades in prison. News and analysis at townhall.com.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Hello, once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
I'm Brenda Belongi.
And I'm Alan Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos. The tech news that you can use, brought to you in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. And we don't really have a way of tracking specifically how many people listen to us, say, on TuneIn Radio. We don't get the stats from that because you have to kind of be a member. And somebody stuck us into TuneIn without our knowledge a couple of years ago. In fact, there's like 200 episodes on TuneIn. I could find out how many get the show directly from the website if I wanted to dig around that much. I can tell you that the podcast of the show, which we launched a couple of months ago, is at about 100 downloads, about half of them first-time downloads.
So. Keeps going one direction.
Keeps going. Yeah, absolutely. You can only go up from here. I mean, Leo Laporte and company, they're not in any danger from our little program, but we do what we can.
He has a staff.
He does have a staff. We have us.
Yes.
Anyway, if you want to contribute to the show, drop us a line, boomertechradio@gmail.com, or go to the boomertechradio.com website, and you can leave feedback, make show suggestions, number of things. We'll try to keep some show notes going there, and you can download the program directly onto your device or home computer and listen to it at your leisure. It is a broadcast-friendly program, so if you know of a radio station that maybe would like to carry a different sort of tech show, because we don't throw a lot of jargon at you. We try not to be super clever, snarky, or impress you with our knowledge, because we're baffled half the time ourselves anyway. So, but we do like to share the stuff we learn about. And with that in mind, Brenda, you had some things going on, right?
Yeah, there's an alarming trend, of course, there's always been this thing about people fishing for information and this and that and trying to get, but there's a new one out there apparently, and it's a virtual, well, it's not that new either, virtual kidnapping scam. It's a variation on the theme of an elderly person getting a call, hi grandma, hi grandpa, whatever, it's me and I'm stuck here and I need some money. And
right, it's a human engineering, or right, a social engineering scam.
Right, exactly. So recently came across the story where someone got a call on their cell phone, and the call began with someone screaming for help. And I didn't get that phone.
That was not the scream for help.
No, that was the phone I didn't get turned off yet.
Yes, Brenda is a reluctant multi-device person.
Yes. So the screaming person, you can hear this in the background, and then a second person comes on the line and says, we have your daughter, and they demand money for, a ransom, and demand that the person go to the bank and withdraw like $10,000 to ensure the kid's safe return and so on and so forth. These are extortion scams. And the caller pretends to have a kidnapped a relative or a friend, of course, and they typically demand a ransom. So it's, you know, variation on this theme has been around for a while.
So the first thing you do is exactly what they tell you not to do, and that is call the police.
Well, yeah, and of course the scam depends on the person getting the call freaking out and you know, believing that their friend or their loved one is really in danger. And the scammers, of course, threaten to kill them or do some sort of violent act against them and that sort of thing. You know, it's ridiculous. If you say, well, I don't have that much money, they'll demand, you know, smaller sums of money that can be quickly paid. And so the FBI recommends a few things. Avoid becoming a victim. Look for the following possible indicators: incoming calls from an outside area code. I don't answer them if I don't recognize anything.
Right.
Or even a foreign telephone number. That's another good one. You know, they're very clever about hiding them, though, somewhere in the U.S.
Right. It is possible to spoof a local number from outside.
Yeah.
You can do that, no problem.
And if a call doesn't come from the alleged kidnapped victim's phone, and callers will go to great lengths to keep you on the phone. And ransom money is only accepted via wire transfer service. That's always a red flag right there.
Yeah.
You know, klaxon, whoa, 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 you know, don't do it. So if you get a virtual kidnapping phone call, then, you know, how do I know my friend or loved one is okay and, you know, this and that and any so on. But you definitely contact law enforcement and let them know what happened. I will shut my phone off now.
We all have our own little signature sounds on our phones.
That was my voicemail signature.
Yeah, the howling wolf.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, isn't somebody howling at you when they leave a voicemail?
Indeed. So, Alan, you had some excitement. I learned about through Facebook. We won't go into details, but people who are friends of yours know the story. It was a little bit
dramatic.
I didn't hear about it except through Facebook, and you were saying that if it hadn't been for you being right there, you wouldn't have known about it except for the news because they cleaned the results of the unfortunate incident up. But it was kind of a shocker to read this on my Facebook feed.
Yeah, somebody had tried to broke into my neighbor's apartment, and, well, neighbor had a shotgun, so didn't end so well for the guy.
Did not end well for the individual. Yes.
But if I had left a couple minutes earlier and came back, I'd have never known anything happened there. It was crazy. They just got everything situated and cleaned up before I got back home from work.
Now, I sort of snarked out on a friend of mine on Facebook who said, "Imagine if there was no Facebook." And I'm like, "Yeah, trying to see a downside."
Sounds good to me.
And she did point out that it can be used. It's a very powerful tool. It can be used for great good. It has reconnected families, helped lost loves find each other again. Gotten the word out quickly on incidents and events and allowed people to spread important information very, very quickly. But it has also allowed for the spread of a lot of barnyard fertilizer.
A lot of bitter,
to put it nicely.
Bitter divisiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Extremism, anger, knowing people overshare things sometimes. And
a friend of ours went through a kind of – remember the friend who went through the divorce and was oversharing details? And it just made – you read it and you're going, ugh. I don't want to know these details.
Look, if you don't want to know them anymore, probably your friends don't either.
Yeah. So, but sometimes people will overshare this stuff in the heat of a moment and sometimes express their great anger or say something that they ultimately will end up regretting. So,
that's why you need a filter on yourself.
You need a – and I think that a lot of people have misplaced their filters.
You need a delay button like here in the radio station.
Right, like a 10-minute delay.
You have to
hit send 10 minutes from now also.
Sort of a reverse Snapchat. Instead of your...
Double check with you. Do you really want to send this?
Right.
You know, actually that 10 minutes.
A reverse Snapchat. Instead of your message going out instantly and disappearing in 10 minutes, it makes you wait 10 minutes before you post it and you can call it back at any time.
Right, before it goes out there. It seems like a good idea to me.
What were you thinking? check.
Right. I'm sure they even have breathalyzers to where you have to blow into it to send anything on your phone, you know, just in case.
That's not a bad idea.
Really?
That has many other uses for some people.
Pretty soon your smartphone is going to be smart enough to say, you sure you want to send this out there, Bubba?
You're about half spelled words wrong right here, so I don't think you're 100% right
now. I'm detecting a lack of clarity of mind.
Like, every single word's highlighted in the spell check. Grammar doesn't work at all. I don't think you actually want to send this.
You could see a artificial intelligence that actually learns about your personality like your best friend and says, is this an action you necessarily want to take or do you want to think about this? There are some interesting possibilities here. Maybe for people who aren't quite ultra stable. Speaking of not so ultra stable, under the heading of Ask Me If I Care, Lady Gaga has just launched her very own emoji pack.
I hate emojis.
I don't mind emojis.
What?
I don't use them frequently, but it's like, seriously? Why do I need her face on my messages? Why don't I just do my own emojis?
I've been known to launch the occasional smiley face or something to indicate that I'm joking about something. But, yeah, some people, they just want to communicate entirely via emojis.
Oh,
words are too difficult?
I don't speak emoji
in
that capacity.
Or they have some sort of sentence they're talking about, I don't know, a shoe or something, and then they add a shoe emoji. Yeah, I know what a shoe is. I don't need a picture depicting it.
Oh, goodness. Well, as if that wasn't enough, where is... Google.
I had fun with emojis one time, communicating with a friend. We were trying to decide where to go to dinner, and I put all this stuff in there, pizza, Chinese food, sushi, and I put a baby bottle in there, and he writes like, ew!
No, not that one.
No. That was kind of fun.
Maybe Alan has got this story because I saw it and I don't think I saved it on the Boomer Tech Radio magazine that's available on Flipboard. Google, I guess, or some
Google
subsidiary.
Google
Allo. And you, this, I can hear your eyes rolling from over here, Alan.
What? Allo?
Allo! It's a program of some sort, a new program.
There's an app.
It's an app, yeah, one of those things. So you take a selfie, right? You know, those kids are doing that these days.
Looking right up your own nostrils.
Hold the camera out, take a picture with the dumb face. And then you can turn that dumb face into an emoji, a custom emoji that you can send to your friends and annoy them with it. I don't know why you'd want to make a custom emoji.
This has got to be the ultimate in what's the word I'm looking for?
Narcissism.
Yes. Oh, look at me.
I'm not good enough to have like a regular emoji. I need my
emoji.
Have you seen the video online about the millennial wedding proposal, marriage proposal?
Oh my goodness!
That's what it reminds me. Oh, it's hysterical!
Yeah.
Oh boy!
Yeah, this guy.
Take number 47.
Yeah, you've got to look it up.
It's quite amusing.
Well, let's say you want.
Kind of comes to mind that narcissism.
You want to shoot your self emoji, but you don't want to do it with an ordinary smartphone or an ordinary selfie stick.
You have to do it with style.
You can, in fact. Bring out your very own Sailor Moon phone. For those of you who are not aware of it, Sailor Moon is a Japanese anime that dates back to...
The 80s and 90s. Well, it came out originally in the 80s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Continued on.
Yes, the phone comes with a 12-megapixel front-facing camera, a Sony sensor, 21-megapixel rear-facing camera. That's a pretty hefty phone, but it's all done in pink with the Sailor Moon logo.
It is very teeny bopper looking.
And of course, this is the Japanese schoolgirls who have superpowers and
what's that little stick thing with the heart on it?
That's the selfie stick.
The official Sailor Moon selfie stick. And if you look at the logo on it, I'm not going to describe the first thing that came to my mind when I looked at
there's,
it.
Yes, so not for public.
Not
for multiple age.
It's woman power. That's what it means. Yes.
Oh, yeah, right. I think it has a dual purpose. Let's put it that way.
Oh, my goodness. What are these people thinking about?
It's Japan.
What? This stupid thing will sell thousands of copies.
Oh, probably.
Hundreds of thousands of copies.
They have a Hello Kitty edition if you're not really into Sailor Moon.
That seems like it'd be more popular because at least around here, you'd have to be of a certain age and a certain kind of person to even know what that is. And then if you do know what it is, you actually have to like it enough to consider it, and then you'd have to have low enough self-respect to actually buy it. So that's a pretty margin, small margin here anyway.
How much are you willing to pay for this thing? Not as much as they're charging, around $435.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's for the phone.
The mind boggles. Yeah, $439
well,
bucks for a
phone.
There
will be those that absolutely
stick.
Have to have such a thing, you know?
They wouldn't have manufactured it if they obviously. P.T. Barnum's theory is working overtime here. There is, in fact, one board every minute.
Yep. And you know what? If somebody gets enjoyment out of it, then go right ahead. You're not hurting me, but you're just hurting yourself.
I don't have time for this.
Don't get annoyed when I sit here and laugh at you.
Right.
It is quite something.
Yep. So there's folks that say, now, we've been teased by the possibilities of virtual reality since the Lawnmower Man back in the 1980s, you know, I'm drawing a blank here. The world inside the computer that Disney put out.
Tron.
Yeah. The virtual world that only exists inside a computer.
I never understood that movie.
Well, supposedly the guy gets sucked into a game, you know. And that theme has just been beaten to death many, many times over. But it's doing a resurgence right now. A lot of the role-playing games, and there's a lot of novels coming out where the individuals actually live inside a role-playing game. A couple of movies that are out now along that vein. Most of them really, really bad.
Yeah, a couple of original ones just kind of kick-started the whole resurgence of the interest. Plus, it has to do a lot with VR being more and more prevalent in that, you know, you're actually going to get pretty close to immersing yourself 100% into a virtual world. So that's also rekindling interest in it.
Well, VR development kits are coming out from Microsoft. And here again, we're talking, of course, about, these are full VR. Now, of course, there's VR, virtual reality, where you're entire senses, visual and sound, are taken over by a digitally generated environment. But there's also, and I think this has a lot more application for the rest of us, virtual or augmented reality, where you can, and of course Pokemon Go is the first example of an augmented reality game where you're looking at a real world that is overlaid with these little figures that only you can see. Right. But for, say, real estate, this has some very interesting possibilities.
Yeah, you can drive down the street and hold your phone up to a house and see if it's for sale, how much, retail, all the rest of that, without having to look it up, the address on an internet browser or anything like that.
Or even look at an empty lot that you just purchased and see what house would fit nicely in that lot, and then walk into the house and see how you would like to furnish it, and then you order everything from Amazon.
You can see how it looks. This window right here, how it would look, what your view would be, all sorts of things like that.
Well, that's not such a bad thing necessarily.
No, it would just be a virtual overlay over what reality looks like.
There are times that people I know built houses would say, I wished I had known this would be like this.
Right. I would have moved the window like 3 inches that way. It would have been much better. Now you could tell.
Well, the new mixed reality, which I guess is a more friendly term than augmented reality. These kits are being shipped from Microsoft, manufactured by HP and Acer. They'll be in the Microsoft store. The prices are actually a little more reasonable. Acer is going to cost you around $300. HP's version of this thing, it looks a little bit like Jordy LaForge's face thing. Visor from Next Generation, except it's black plastic and not, it doesn't look like a headband. But it's got the whole idea. It's got the thing there. It picks up on a camera the real world environment, and then superimposes superimposes information or objects that you can see, and where you can share this stuff. A design team can share this stuff. What's really interesting on that is going to be the military and search and rescue applications, and even surgery. There is a story out about surgeons wearing a virtual reality headset or an augmented reality headset where they can get very precise measurements and see get a lot more data sifted to them than they could see just with their eyes, because they're doing work on such an incredibly fine scale.
Right, and they could also get a type of heads-up display with extra information, vitals, other notes, etc., from other people in the room without having to look away from what they're looking at.
Right. Now, these new headsets have the advantage that you don't have to have super-duper top-of-the-line hardware to even run them, because if you want to run an Oculus Rift or an HTC Vive, you've got to have a really beefy computer to run one of those things.
It's got a lot to render, those video cards do.
The Acer's headset has a 1440 by 1440 resolution for each eye, which is certainly a lot better than you're going to get from sticking your cell phone in a piece of cardboard and hanging it in front of your face. That having been said, just the Samsung Gear was pretty impressive. Now, it's not super crystal clear, but the Gear headset's $99. All the heavy lifting is being done by your phone.
Right.
It's only going to get better. Right now, this stuff is so in the vacuum tube era. But Microsoft partners also include 3 Glasses, Dell, and Lenovo. And there are those who say that as these things get smaller and lighter, because right now, in terms of virtual reality, we're sort of in the bag phone era.
Mm-hmm. The bricks.
Yeah, bag phones and Motorola bricks is where we're at. As this stuff gets smaller and lighter, we're going to be able to build it into very ordinary-looking pairs of glasses.
Right, like similar to that Google Glass that came out a while ago, but a lot better.
Yeah, well, they would be indistinguishable from a normal pair of glasses. In fact, I would expect some sort of law to be passed where they would have to have some sort of indicator on them that they are, in fact, capable of recording the environment. Otherwise, there would be some pretty good privacy concerns going on.
Well, I'm sure that cameras are getting small enough nowadays anyway. They'd be very difficult to tell if anything's wired up like that.
Oh, you can purchase right now on the market. They look a little bit dorky because the frames are extra thick, but you can purchase sunglasses that have built-in high-definition cameras.
All right, and the cable goes down around your ear, and they just look like they're holding them to your head.
Yeah. Who's behind those Foster Grants? Yeah. So anyway, all this stuff, of course, legislation is always running years, if not decades, behind the technology. You know, there's still laws on the books that prohibit you from buying a radio that can listen to the 900 megahertz band, so you can't listen in on cell phone conversations. Well, first of all, nobody's cell phone uses that band anymore. Second of all, it's all digital.
Yeah.
The only thing you could listen in on was, now, if you had the right software, you could theoretically listen to a digital conversation. Nobody's got that stuff except the government.
Right. It's going to be a little cumbersome to try to get that anyway. Faster just to hack the servers if you really
wanted
it. Yeah,
it's easier just to get the servers hacked. Anyway, you're listening to Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda and Alan. And when we come back from the break, we have a – what do we got coming up after the break? You got don't tell me you got nothing.
No, I got the Star Trek Bridge Crew thing
Yeah. Well, we're on the topic of VR.
Microsoft does it again with an operating system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to hear about the we told you about those Windows laptops. Well, they come with a little bit of a gotcha on them. It's Boomer Tech Radio. More after this. Good, honest, reliable.
More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road. What shall we
do about them? Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We the People, brought to you by Powerhouse Solar of Reading, Sundays at noon on KCNR. What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Janet with Pirate Secret Essential Oils. Our essential oil, Dathif, has helped ease or eliminate the itch and pain of mosquito bites, bee stings, fungal infections, athlete's foot, cold sores, canker sores, cuts and abrasions, tattoos, smelly shoes, acne, skin rashes, shaving bumps, beard dandruff, and helps defend against cold and flu symptoms. Available at Enjoy the Store, Orchard Nutrition, Country Organics, and in Chico, Arcata, and Weed. For more information, visit us at PirateSecret.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Taking America back is more than merely voting for the right candidate and expecting him alone to turn a morally bankrupt country around. What made and will continue to make America great is a country who allows God his rightful place. Without godly Christian values, there's no absolute standard for our courts to judge by and no standard to hold our politicians accountable. People must experience a change of heart that only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 AM.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing, Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Reading's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Welcome back. Boomer Tech with Bob and Brenda and Alan, and the tech news that we hope you can use. So we've been kind of picking on Microsoft a little bit here, but also some of the new possibilities being brought out by virtual reality and augmented reality. Gaming is, of course, a big frontier when it comes to VR. And Alan picked up on a game that's being offered that will take place completely in a VR environment.
Right. So if you've ever watched an episode of Star Trek, you know, fire lasers, fire phasers, et cetera, a lot of people have been wanting to, like, be the captain of the ship, right, and direct their people around of what to do and fight off the Klingons or whatnot. So there's been a game out for a little while where you and a couple of your friends are in a virtual reality setting on the bridge of various different starships in Star Trek. And you actually have to sit there at the different consoles around on the bridge and push all the buttons needed to raise your shields or fire your phasers or launch the torpedoes, etc., like they do on the TV show. But it's all required, you know, people for the whole thing to work, because you're all yelling at each other, shouting commands and reaching over anything but in buttons. So IBM has teamed up with the guys making it and has allowed them to start using the recognition of Watson. Have you heard of that? He played Jeopardy and won a while back. And they've integrated that kind of technology into making AI people on the bridge, artificial intelligences that'll actually hear your commands you yell at them, like raising shields or, you know, execute flight plan Omega or whatever the heck they throw out, and actually doing what you want them to do by just yelling at them.
Well, as we're going to hear later on in the hour, when we talk to Jim Berry from the Consumer Technology Association, the recognition, speech recognition, has just gone by leaps and bounds in the last couple of years. Right now, the most common use for the Amazon Echo speaker is to set a timer or pull up a specific piece of music. Although I forget what it was we were trying to get Alexa to play for us. Oh, I said the name. I've just triggered Echo speakers all over the listening area.
Alexa, order some napkins.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Don't do things like that.
But I was asking for some specific piece of music, and she just blew it and was coming up with weird selections, and it was something that should have been a slam dunk. And I cannot for the life of me remember exactly what it was. It was worthy of note because I tried a couple of different ways of doing it, and she kept going down the wrong rabbit hole. So
just really unhappy with how you were telling her what to do, huh?
I guess, but it was just really – it was to play some particular piece of music or music by some particular artist.
You had to reword it to get anything. It was some kind of – was that the surf music one?
Maybe it was, yeah. Anyway, so obviously, but when you think about it, how many times do we misunderstand each other? Like what? Who was going to pick up who when earlier today? miscommunications in plain English, you know, and I don't have the excuse of being an artificial intelligence.
Yet.
So your smart home is, though, getting smarter, and if you don't have a person to play a role, you'll actually have an artificial intelligence to fill that role.
Right. So it can turn the whole Star Trek game into something you can do by yourself instead of needing a bunch of people to go in and take care of all the things.
But it might be fun to play with friends, too.
Right. But
although
I mean,
nobody wants to be just the person who raises shields.
Right. And you got to reach over and hit the phaser button or run to that console, you know, when the other one explodes, as they sometimes do on those shows for no good reason. But, you know, I probably wouldn't put explosives in consoles on the bridge.
Yeah.
That would just be my design decision.
It's a malfunction or something. Now, one of the things that Brenda and I did when we went to CES in January was we treated ourselves to a Cirque du Soleil show, we went to see
Mystère.
Mystère, which is one of the – it's not
it's
one of
classic.
The real – yeah, it's one of their classic yeah. shows. It's not the super fanciest show, although there was plenty of ooh and ah stuff on it. The
yeah, we had
raising,
awesome seats.
Yeah. The
and it was affordable.
The mechanical stage that raised and lowered and did all kinds of very amazing things. And that's one of their lower-end ones. Like if you see something like Ka – or one of these shows yeah. that has the platform floating in midair. That's pretty impressive.
Those tickets are kind of hideous.
Yeah. You pay dearly for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is spectacular. There's no question. But anyway, what's Cirque du Soleil up to?
Well, they partner with Microsoft to develop a way for the entertainment company to test out stage setups and choreography in an augmented reality using HoloLens. According to a report we found on The Verge, a working version of the technology was shown during the Microsoft Build Conference for developers. So you can see how, you know, they could take and map this whole thing out. Previously, they would build this thing and then discover that maybe it was tilted just a bit too far and the acrobats couldn't keep their footing and you could have to rebuild the whole thing.
Whoops.
At the cost of how many millions and maybe missing a deadline. But if you have a good enough physics engine, you can build this whole thing in a virtual environment and test it out before you put one piece of metal against another and weld them up.
Yeah, blueprints can only go so far. You know, it takes
sure.
some real-world application of physics yep. in order for it to make full sense.
Now, if you have ever been to a Cirque du Soleil performance, it is quite the circus, for sure. There's always something going on, and usually multiple things going on. And they like to distract you over here while something's going on over there that's
right.
going to become a focus. And so they're always very busy sets. So, for the most part.
Well, another thing they can do with this is that you can actually put the set into virtual reality and then your perspective of where you're looking at it from, you can move it to every possible audience location.
Right.
So you can make sure that everybody
sees something.
Because you may have built this thing in such a way that the people who are front and center get a great view, but the person who paid slightly less money way off to the side gets nothing and they're very unhappy.
So this design feature is kind of cool because it allows them essentially to look at a life-size version of a potential set and then also send dancers through it and put the people in there virtually
right,
and see
right.
how well that would work. Pretty
now,
cool.
Again, we're in the bag phone era when it comes to this stuff, but it is growing. Look how far it's come just in a couple of years. So we're really the next time we get down to CES, which will probably be a couple of years. Who knows what we will see?
Yeah.
You know. Oh, the HoloLens is in its infancy, is what you're saying. It's
yeah.
kind of clunky right now, but it will very quickly evolve, I'm sure, into something far more graceful and useful.
Right. There are folks who are already predicting that the smartphone, as we know it, will go as quickly as it came to be replaced by worn electronics.
Jarvis.
Yeah. where you are seeing an augmented world all the time and you're hearing something that is intended just for your ears. Now, how you can return without looking, you know, it'll be like Bluetooth all over again when people are walking down the street talking to some. Okay, is this a crazy person or are they having a conversation with somebody?
Well, the more people that have it, the more common
right,
it will
right.
be and the less odd it will
so
be.
So we'll have a whole society of people muttering to themselves.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
What else is new? That happens on a regular basis, even with no electronic devices.
Yeah. Oh, dear me.
First time I saw that, somebody talking into a speaker, you know, with
the
headphones.
Bluetooth device.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, that is just weird. What?
I had to be
weird.
Like, what? And he just looked at me like I was dumb. I'm like, well, I didn't know you had the thing. I'm sorry, dude. Apologies.
Yeah.
You had to get used to that if you were an early adopter of that.
Right.
So we tell people on this program a lot that if you aren't running at least some form of antivirus, you're really leaving yourself open to potential hacking, takeover of your computer, financial loss, ransomware.
You're walking a fine line if you don't.
Yeah, if you don't have something out there, you're really, really exposed. Now, last couple of times I bought something from Best Buy, they actually offered We're giving you a free gift, a subscription, or it's a 3-year multi-device subscription to Kapersky Labs.
Sounds trustworthy.
Kapersky. Yeah, well, Kapersky Labs is based in Russia. So what's all the buzz right now, except about Russians, possibly state-sponsored, doing hacking things? And some of these big ransomwares are coming from either former Soviet republics or within Russia itself. Now, I'm not saying that it's in every case, and I'm not certainly not accusing Kapersky Labs of anything. The U.S. government, though, has just like when the U.S. government told their people they would no longer be allowed to buy Lenovo computers because they were manufactured in the People's Republic of China, and you don't know what's being pre-installed on that because Lenovo's already been caught with some pretty sophisticated spyware going out on their machines just for consumers. The U.S. government has said they absolutely will not allow a government agency to purchase a Lenovo computer now for that very reason, because there's no way to tell what it's calling back to some mothership with.
Right. Like, they don't allow you to even bring phones into sensitive rooms, just because even if they're off and they look like they're not running, who knows? So they just don't even let you bring them in there.
More and more, sailors who are deploying or army units that are going out are being told to hand them in. You know, keep your phone.
Some of this strikes me as just paranoia and kind of fake newsy. There's no story here yet. There's no evidence that...
There's no smoking gun.
Yeah, no. It's just, we better do this because it could happen.
Well...
You know, and that is justified at times, absolutely, but really?
National Security Agency Director Mike Rogers told a Senate committee this week he was personally involved in monitoring the Kapersky issue. He did not elaborate. ABC News, well, there's a paragon of... accuracy most of the time. And BuzzFeed, same story, reporting that the U.S. officials are increasingly concerned that Russian spies might use Kapersky computer security software to spy on Americans or sabotage key U.S. systems.
I risk my case.
Kapersky Labs is denying these charges, saying that they have no ties to any government. The company has never helped nor will help any government in the world with its cyber espionage efforts. I think the truth is somewhere in between.
Who knows? I wouldn't get too worked up about it.
Yeah. Putin can get his hands in anything Russian that he wants, really. So.
Well, right now it's trendy to blame the Russians for all our...
Right. I mean,
we're blaming China for all our problems. Now we're going to go blame the Russians for everything.
Right. I mean, it's not inconceivable all that can happen, but like you're saying, the likelihood's not really there yet, so.
Yeah, like we in the U.S. don't do like things.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah. Yeah, this U.S. Cyber Command and all that.
Yes, so we're not pristine in our own activities.
Drones.
Sure.
We haven't talked about drones lately. A company called AeroVironment has unveiled a palm-sized surveillance drone for use by the U.S. military. It would be carried in a belt pouch, and before you go into a house, now think about this, if you're in some hot spot in the world and you're in urban combat and you have to decide if you're going to go into a house, what's in there? Is there some kid sitting on the floor, or is there a bad guy with a grenade launcher ready, who doesn't care if he dies, wanting to take out your whole squad? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to get a look around first? But previously, you had special units that had drones that had to be brought in, fairly sizable ones that obviously announced themselves as they were coming through the door because they were pretty good size. These new ones can be launched from the palm of a hand. They weigh 5 ounces. They're called Snipes.
I like don't have that. A gun, but still yeah. Call them Snipes. Sure.
It's got
that'd be a sniper.
Yeah, the AeroVironment says the drone benefited from advanced technology achieved in the development of the Nano Hummingbird for DARPA. That's the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Very interesting group that's given us quite a bit of toys to play with.
A lot of crazy ideas come out from DARPA.
Has a range of about half a mile, can fly at 20 miles an hour, and can relay high-resolution images and record video both day and night. And they're looking. Now, I could see where things like this, if you can make them cheap enough and easy enough to deploy, may be controlled by an operator who's wearing a HoloLens-type helmet for search and rescue, building extractions, things like that, where you need to quickly go through a building. If you lose the $500 drone, big deal. If you lose a firefighter, you got a tragedy on your hands.
Right, and it could fit places where you couldn't go before.
Right.
It has a built-in infrared,
like
you said.
It can go with FLIR, yeah.
And it's recording the whole time, so someone else could be back there reviewing footage of whatever the drone sees, and you can turn around 360 degrees, get a scan of the room too, all sorts of things you can get from that.
Until somebody whacks it and knocks it out of commission.
Well, it still saves everything.
Yeah, well,
in some applications.
What's interesting, though, is that
bank robbers.
One of the earliest movies of this genre called Runaway with Tom Selleck and a absolutely brilliantly evil performance by Gene Simmons of Kiss, the dude with the tongue,
nice.
As the bad guy. It was about, and this was set in the 80s, so it's very kitschy 80s appearing, but it is about a special police squad that takes care of errant robots. A movie way ahead of its time concept-wise.
I can tell that my media education is lacking.
Well, one of the things they do in the movie is that they need to survey a house, so they launch a drone. And this is a movie that's, I think, if you want to look that up real quick.
What's its name?
It'll come back to me in just a moment. Runaway with Tom Selleck. And I think it's like 87 or 88, because the music is very, very synth type music. I could look that up myself here real quick. But tell me if I'm right, 87 or 88, somewhere in that.
84.
84, so well before that. So that's a movie that's way ahead of its time, and it talks about household robots. But these drones are used to survey a house, and the movie actually opens with the Tom Selleck character having to take care of a malfunctioning farm robot.
Mm. Oh, I remember that movie.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Gene Simmons just with this maniacal stare, but they had these little robot spiders that were assassins. It was a very cool movie, but way ahead of its time.
Bite you with these, mecho venoms.
Yeah. they got that. Some of the parts were silly, but some parts of the movie were right on in terms of their pre-essence.
Right, just these little flying robots that can do all sorts of different things, not just even surveillance, but. Yeah,
and Kirstie Alley was in it before she blew up or whatever it was happened to her.
Something happened.
Cynthia Rhodes was his partner. The screenplay was done by Michael Crichton.
That's right. Now, there was a dude. You got to wonder if Michael Crichton wasn't like a time traveler.
He's written some pretty good sci-fi.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for he did the Jurassic Park, right? With Michael Crichton.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm still waiting for that to happen.
Among many other things.
It may happen. We just don't know about it.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah. The first one that really hit for him, of course, about the disease coming down on a satellite.
Andromeda Strain.
Great.
That's
movie.
A good book.
Robert Wise film.
That's a good book.
Very dated now. But
I read that in high school, which was the late 70s.
It'd be interesting to see an update. Why don't they remake that? They remake all these crap movies. Why don't they remake something like Andromeda Strain?
Well, didn't they do something about that with that Life movie? That was something like they created
Screw it up, probably.
I thought they did something like that, except instead of a virus, it created a creature of some sort.
Mm. Doesn't seem to be any imagination in Hollywood anymore. No. Nothing new and interesting.
We have to have some special effect things. You know. By the way, if you are a nerd about... We went to see Guardians of the Galaxy Chapter 2.
Volume 2.
Volume 2.
Volume 2.
Roll in the aisles. And the interesting thing that people who are into Marvel movies now stay through the credits.
That's the first time I've seen people didn't move. They didn't leave.
Right. I mean, you wait until the whole thing's done.
You have
to. You wait till the screen goes absolutely black because the word is out that they hide these little Easter eggs and little goodies in the credits at the very end. And they started that all the way back with Iron Man.
I like the one in the credits where I Am Groot is in there and it gets translated. Yeah, it's really cute.
My favorite part of the whole movie was, Groot, when he was a teenager.
Yeah, that's right.
Fun movie.
You got to see it more than once.
You do. You do have to see it more
than once.
There's
so much stuff going on in there.
But the amount of digital effects.
Oh, phenomenal.
Literally, there's 5,000 people working on this movie, if not more.
The credits certainly seemed that long.
Yeah, they were quite long. And but the visuals, the CG was so rich that it really created a virtual set. It obviously has to be virtual.
Yeah, almost the whole movie was green screen.
Yeah, it had to be.
Same with Avatar. Avatar was almost all on green screen.
And but visually, you believe it could be a real place.
Mm-hmm. And actors have to,
that good.
Actors have to really get used to that these days because, you know, a lot of them are used to seeing
something,
sets.
Yeah.
But now they have to pretend it's all there.
You want a really fun magazine to, well, it's a little bit deep technically speaking, but a good magazine to read if you are a nerd about special movie effects is CineFX Magazine. It comes out every couple of months.
Yeah, CineFX. Yes. CineFX.
I subscribe. I've been a fan of the magazine.
Quarterly.
I've been a fan of the magazine for a long time, and now I'm enjoying it again.
Get ready for sticker shock, though.
Yeah.
Single copy is quite pricey.
Well, it's actually a trade. This is a magazine that is read by other people in the trades.
Yeah. It was interesting when the Academy Awards were in the offing, all of these ads that were there for Academy Awards.
Yeah,
that
for
was
your
quite
consideration.
Yeah, for your consideration.
Finally, as
very
we get ready to wrap up this hour of Boomer Tech Radio, Microsoft apparently has not decided to embrace the USB-C standard. Now, if you're confused a little bit, USB-C is the latest iteration of one port to rule them all. It appears on the latest version of the MacBook Pro. It is a single connector that can handle power, data, and video interface all with one connector.
And
it's a little big, but I mean, it can handle all that with one plug.
Well, and there's no right side up.
Right, you can plug it in either way. And this is sort of like something that was previewed with the Apple Lightning connector, because how many of us have been working when the lighting wasn't so good trying to get a micro USB into that D port?
I have wrecked a few connectors with that.
And that can be, you know, and then it never works again quite right.
Well, Microsoft doesn't think that USB-C is ready for mainstream, so they say.
Yeah, I think it boils down to the dollars.
Wasn't
that would
their
have to
idea?
Be. Yeah, it would. You know, look how long it took Apple to accept regular USB before they started, and now it's a mainstay of their systems. But interesting, folks. If you talk to the USB standards folks and same with the SD card people at CES, they're an eclectic bunch, but. The new Surface laptops, which have a lot of interesting features on them, use regular USB-A and DisplayPort, which is really more like an Apple thing.
And not only that, there's only one USB-A.
Right.
So if you have a remote mouse you're using
docking station.
Yeah, you pretty much are forced into that sort of thing.
Well, that's what you got to do with the MacBook Pro is tie it to a docking station. We're trying to get hold of one. I don't have anything that runs USB-C, though. So. Anyway, there's more to Boomer Tech Radio coming up after the top of the hour break. It's Bob and Brenda and Alan saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done.
Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road, call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. At least five people are under consideration for FBI director, meeting today with Attorney General Jeff Sessions and other officials at the Justice Department. Acting Director Andrew McCabe is one of them, along with Texas Senator John Cornyn. But other names have been talked about, like outspoken Milwaukee, Wisconsin Sheriff David Clark and Trey Gowdy, the South Carolina Republican who led the House committee investigating Benghazi and Hillary Clinton's actions. But Joe DiGenova tells Salem Media, regardless, what the United States needs is a cop.
A good cop, a smart cop. And there's only one in the United States who fits that bill, and that's Ray Kelly, former police commissioner of New York City. Got a fabulous mind. He's an ex-Marine. He's an independent, great thinker. He brought down and reduced crime miraculously in New York City. They shouldn't mess around. They ought to pick a giant in law enforcement and do it right away.
DiGenova is a former U.S. attorney of the District of Columbia. Germany's National Railway says it was among the organizations affected by the global cyber attack.
Deutsche Bahn says the cyber attack hit their departure and arrival display screens at its stations Friday night. The company also says it deployed extra staff to busy stations to provide customer information. Deutsche Bahn says extra staff also recommended that passengers check its website or app for more information on their connections.
That's correspondent Andrew Stewart. British Home Secretary Amber Rudd said 48 out of the 248 NHS organizations were affected. But Prime Minister Theresa May says the UK has a strong infrastructure to combat attacks like this.
What is crucial in terms of cybersecurity is that it is this government that has actually put £2 billion into cybersecurity strategy, set up the National Cybersecurity Centre, that has been advising organisations in the public sector like the NHS, but outside the public sector as well, about cybersecurity.
Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn calls the attacks immoral. More news and analysis at townhall.com.
Amazing to realize, but you know, it's been almost 2 years I've been talking with you about Relief Factor, and I can tell you I've been continually inundated with testimonials. This is Michael Medved, and I've received thousands of testimonials that come in telling me how excited people are to be out of pain, like Bob from Ohio, who writes, I had a herniated disc in my back in 1984. I started taking Relief Factor, and for the first time, I have been completely out of constant, sometimes excruciating pain. I'm now able to work in the yard, around the house, and do my job in comfort. This is a great product. That's the end of the quote. If you're struggling with ongoing back or neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or general muscle pain, aches, pains of any kind, do what tens of thousands of others have done so successfully. Go to ReliefFactor.com and order their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. 1-800-500-8384. That's 1-800-500-8384.
Opinion versus fact. That's the nub of the controversy surrounding media bias.
Cheryl Atkinson, former CBS News correspondent and host of Full Measure, seen on Sundays, and the author of the upcoming book Smear, says she doesn't mind that people are getting the opinions that they want to hear.
I argue that some of those same people still want to be able to go someplace where they hear news without the opinion, where they get independent news that they don't have to take a third off the top or dissect it by half because they guess that the reporter has a vested interest. So I think in an ideal world, you would continue to have plenty of places where people can go for opinion, but you would have places where you can go and feel like you're getting the facts without thinking that you're getting instead something a reporter or a pundit is trying to push at you as a narrative.
And that's something that all too often happens in today's media. I'm Keith Peters.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrom. A New York delicatessen is upgrading its generations-old plea for customers to, quote, send a salami to your boy in the Army. Here's Bob Agnew.
The New York City restaurant is expanding its shipping capacity so it can send delicacies like pastrami and corned beef around the globe. It's an effort to upgrade the business that hasn't changed much since it was founded back in 1888. A new shipping facility will open its doors in Hackensack, New Jersey, to expedite those shipments. A mail order for a triple classic sandwich combo will now include a pound each of sliced brisket, pastrami, and corned beef, a loaf of rye bread, a pound of mustard, and 2 quarts of pickles. Bob Agnew reporting.
An Oregon man who made threats to kill former President Obama over social media will serve 5 years in federal prison. John Ruse of Medford, sentenced to 63 years for the post. He also posted on Facebook he threatened to kill FBI agents with hunting rifles. He said the threats were not serious. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrom.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
I'm Brenda Belongi.
And I'm Alan Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world, goodies, gadgets, gizmos, the tech news that we definitely hope you can use. Brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. Well, we teased a story in our last hour that didn't get around to, and so I want to get around to it now, about Google Chrome and why you might never see it on the Windows 10S machines. My, my, my.
And it has to do with the architecture, I guess you could call it,
right,
of the operating system. If Google were to be allowed to be on there, it would have to completely rewrite the browser, right, to be compatible with that operating system.
So is this a case of Microsoft trying to force feed people into using Edge and Bing, which not that many people do? I think I can count the number of times I've looked something up on Edge, the browser, which is the Windows 10 preferred browser.
That's what Internet Explorer turned into.
Yeah. With that very squared-off interface and, you know, very clean and lean. And but you have to use the – now, it boils down to money, because if you use the Bing search engine, they feed you stuff that they have sold to their advertisers to the top of your search results. Well, Google does the same thing.
Sure. But that's how they make money.
Most people prefer Google's search engine. It certainly seems to work better for me, and I think all three of us. If we were at a contest, would prefer the Google search engine.
I don't really like. I was going to say Bling, Bing, and then in this article they refer to it something about Google has a Blink engine. So it's very confusing. But Windows 10S only allows users to install apps from the Windows Store, according to this article that comes to us from The Verge. So that stipulation would seem to eliminate any possibility of Chrome being on the platform and folks being able to put it on their computer. And you certainly couldn't put it pick it as their default browser because, of course, it's not even on there.
Yeah.
And
now Microsoft will tell you this is for your protection.
Oh, it's for ease of use.
Yeah, we're protecting you from those nasty threats out there on the web. Have you noticed the Nagware that pops up on a Windows 10 machine? For a while there, every time you tried to open something with Chrome, you were getting a little nag message down in your corner that,
yep.
Are you sure you want to do this? Because we think that Bing is so much, or that Edge is so much better. It's far more secure. It's kind of backed off lately. I think people started going, hey, I'm using what I'm using, okay?
I turned off practically every single notification as soon as I turned the machine on.
Of course.
But, yeah, it got pretty bad for whenever I use another person's computer. It's just,
well,
ugh.
The other thing about XS is that it, and the fact that it only allows users to install apps from the Windows Store, is that you're forced to go there to get stuff. And their idea is that if this computer... this operating system is that way, well, then there's going to be a lot of pressure to develop stuff for the Windows Store, which is not that populated to begin with. I got news for you people. It's pretty evident. People are going to say fooey on Yui, and they're not going to be buying XS operating system devices. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, depending if it catches on or not, whether or not people will accept it.
It'll catch on all right in a thumbs down manner. That's what it's going to catch on to, I think. Except that apparently customers are going to have the option of upgrading to Windows 10
for
Pro.
For a mere $50.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah. Huh. So they can use any browser they'd like.
Chrome for $50.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Microsoft hasn't figured out yet that when you... Listen, if I want a computer that will only run in one ecosystem and the manufacturer wants to maintain iron control over every aspect of its use, I'll buy a Mac. Okay?
Yeah.
To be fair, iOS and Chrome OS are... which is the platform that Microsoft is competing against with Windows 10S, have comparable rules in place for those platforms as well. So this isn't a new concept, but still, who thought this was a good idea? Right. If you have no content in your store, seriously, do you really think people are going to buy a device that can only get stuff from there? I don't think that's going to go over real well. That'd be like walking in a grocery store and there's nothing there.
Yeah,
it has been going more and more in general tech being... open, like you pick what you want to run on your various devices,
right.
And the more closed off they get, the less happy people are.
Now, absolutely. I have a listener who chides me frequently for failing to mention the Linux. He says, well, it's got all these advantages, it's, you know, and I will agree, once you have it installed and once you have it tuned up, Linux will make an old computer run like a Ferrari.
Sure, it's a nice program. It's just there's a
unless
couple of issues.
You know exactly what you're doing, setting up a Linux machine is a pain in the butt that the average consumer doesn't want to go through.
No.
You do not. The average consumer, when you're trying to tell them, okay, open up the terminal. What's the terminal? Okay, there. Now you got the terminal. Now type this, sudo get app blah, 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 blah.
Well, it's
not going to happen.
You have to learn another language, and it's reminiscent of the old DOS days, really, when you want to do anything, CD, dot, dot, you know.
Set up the kernel and execute your kernel command, and then you make the shell, right?
It's
definitely
geekdom.
People want to plug it in, and it works.
Right.
That's what I want to do, and I'd probably be able to figure out Linux, but I don't want to deal with it.
I have Linux on a old Panasonic Toughbook. Which I haven't turned on in months. I wanted to use it in my ham radio stuff, but I went and installed it. The install was actually pretty easy. I installed it off of a USB thumb drive, but it just sits there in the box. I don't, because I'm busy doing other stuff. I know people who will sit there and watch Twitch TV. Mm-hmm. Round the clock. For those who don't know, I think you're probably better equipped to answer the question than I am, put it in ordinary terms. What is Twitch TV?
Twitch started out as a stream for games, essentially. If people wanted to stream what they were doing in video games, they'd start their broadcasting on Twitch. They'd have a you know, little chat room in there with people talking, and they'd overlay their head over an image of whatever they're playing, and essentially be kind of like a show of how you're playing this game, and people would chat and stuff. So,
weren't we talking about narcissism?
Yeah, well, it's gotten pretty popular. I can't really fathom why. I'd personally rather play games rather than
watching somebody else play a game.
Like, I mean, with baseball or football, sure, there's a valid reason to watch these people play it, because you can't go out into the field and smash into other people without probably killing yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But with video games, the barrier to entry generally is low enough to where you can go ahead and, you know, fight that dragon on your own.
Yeah, but you've got these superstars in esports. Have you seen that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sure, it's interesting to, like, watch super high-level play to, you know, really break or be fabulous at certain things, pull off incredible stunts within the game. But I don't... It's hard for me to fathom why you would need to, like, have the community aspect of the whole thing, why you need to watch it live.
Yeah.
You can't watch it later. But but it's got a lot of popularity, and that's what Twitch started out as.
Now, Twitch TV has apparently seen the need to spread out beyond just watching somebody who play a game on a level that you will never, ever achieve. They're actually going to stream every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I should have pulled up the theme.
Oh, my God. That'll make
it's
you twitch.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Do you remember that show? Alan remembers.
I watched it all the time when I was little.
It was a big PBS thing.
I know of it. I was not.
With the guy with the tattoos on his arms, and he killed people in Korea, I'm pretty sure. Oh, wait. No, that part wasn't really well known.
That wasn't really true. All 886 episodes of the PBS Kids show from produced by Fred Rogers back in the 1970s and 80s will be streamed back-to-back beginning on May the 15th, noon Pacific, in a nonstop marathon that goes until June the 3rd.
You'll see him age.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he would come in and he would put on his sneakers and he would take off his
sweater,
jacket and put on his sweater.
So yeah, the whole Twitch thing kind of has evolved over time into like a general millennial. I don't like that word either. Type thing where most people around my age grew up watching that, so they figure they want to stream this to get the nostalgia watch from people in their late 20s and early 30s.
Right, and the marathon actually will have a donation panel within the stream to where you can contribute to your local PBS station. So mm-hmm. if you're indulging in a little nostalgia and you're following the adventures of X the Owl and the Trolley and King Friday and Queen Sarah, then they were these really kind of ghastly-looking puppets.
Yeah. And retrospectively, they look a little creepy, but I remember a little.
King Friday looks suspiciously like the Burger King with white hair.
Yeah. Here's a visual I can do without.
The Burger King is like the creepiest thing ever.
Yeah.
This way oversized head with this maniacal grin on it. It was like, what ad genius thought that was a great idea?
They still use it.
Yeah, I know.
Kids eat it up, so I guess somebody, you know, had a good idea somewhere.
I want to know who the Nimrods are who run the ad agencies for Burger King, because over the decades, they have come up with some of the most...
Real togs.
Some of the
That's an
worst
insult to dogs.
Ad campaigns ever.
Yeah.
The most recent of which was the, hey, Google, what's a Whopper? You know.
To all people. Wait, no, that's a different one. That's right.
Well, somebody actually hacked the site to provide that answer.
Right, which is a perfectly good idea to me.
I think that's hysterical.
Make it say all sorts of crazy stuff. Yeah, Burger King's had some really, really weird commercials over the years. Mm-hmm. And it's not gotten a lot better either.
Well, the latest venture for Mr. Tesla, Mr. SpaceX, Mr. Hyperloop, Mr. whatever else. Elon Musk is starting to take orders. Well, he's not personally, but his company, Tesla Solar Roof, is starting to take orders for their solar roof tiles. They actually look kind of interesting. The orders will open first for black glass style with a choice of smoother textured surfaces. Tuscan and French slate options will follow in about 6 months. So they're not these purple and silver panels that stick up on your roof and show the entire world that you're a cheapskate trying
I'm
to work
green.
Off.
Green.
Yeah, yeah, that I'm green. They actually look like ordinary tiles. Now, this is... Now, economy of scale is where this stuff finally starts kicking in, because right now the payback period to put solar panels on the average house is something on the order of 15 years.
It takes quite a while for it to pencil out right.
Might not want to put them on your house in the plains where hail shatter all of that.
Or where it's extremely hot during the summer, because...
solar panels tend to lose a lot of efficiency in extremely hot environments, yeah.
Yeah, like in this area. It's
desert southwest, lots of sun, not very efficient.
Right. I mean, the amount of you also have to factor in, you know, the upkeep it takes to run to keep those things running smooth.
Oh, they use those sodium ones that have the concentrators that you see in Nevada. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Concentrated beams of sunlight.
Yeah, they pencil out eventually, but it really depends on your climate and how much refund you can get from the government for putting them up there.
All righty. Hey, how about some uses for your smart speaker? What's one of the most common things that we use our smart speakers for? Setting timers.
A timer for 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Or when you're cooking the pizza or stuff like that. We use ours all the time.
Very handy.
Yeah. Less so for coming up with music. Although we've got the Amazon Prime Music and we kind of enjoy, you know, just pulling a playlist up from a certain era. That's kind of fun. But it's just that one speaker in that one room, unless you invest in like some Sonos connected speakers where the Google speaker can talk to the other speakers. The Amazon speaker. But there's some other interesting ways you can use your Google Home or other connected speaker. Get recipe ideas. Last month, Google updated the Google Home with support for over 5 million recipes. This is similar to the All Recipes skill for Alexa. Google Home will read recipes aloud to you. To select a recipe, you have to first use your smartphone, find a recipe in either Google Assistant on your Android phone or Google Search app, and then send to Google Home. Then to start the recipe, just say, okay, Google, start cooking. So you can't ask, you know, this process is going to have to be completely hands-off before it takes off.
Your Google Home just started reading you a recipe.
Yeah.
Because you fired it off.
You could ask a Google Home for caloric values of basic foods and common dishes. Okay, Google, how many calories are there in a boiled egg? And you can call me back with the answer that your Google just gave me.
About 70.
Is that right? Okay.
You can just ask that offhand.
Yep.
All right. Ask for sodium, cool. Carbohydrates, protein, grams of fat, and other nutritional information.
I'll look it up.
You can build a shopping list. Now, the old skill for the Alexa speaker, for the Echo, would only hold, what, 10 items or something? But there was no way to turn it into a printed document that you could take with you or to send it to your phone.
Just text it to me. Come on.
Yeah. So if I expect that's something that's being worked on right now. And, of course, you still cannot, at this point in time, make a phone call through your smart speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a legal reason for that. Well, a liability reason for that. If it ever doesn't work, the company could be open to liability.
Like if you want to tell it to call 911 or
call
something?
And I can't get up. Yeah, and it doesn't work, the company could be sued for a failure.
Hmm.
Don't think that somebody wouldn't.
Yeah, I suppose somebody will sue for anything if it doesn't work exactly the way it should.
Yeah.
That makes unfortunate sense.
Yeah, and so I'm pretty sure that's the only reason why, right? Because we have a friend who really could use, because he's blind, really could use a completely voice-activated phone system. But nobody's willing to go out on that limb because they're afraid of getting sued.
And it's hard to put Braille on smartphones, unfortunately.
Mm. You can get cocktail recipe ideas. Google Home has a couple of third-party services that give you cocktail recipes. The bartender has a database of over 12,000 cocktail recipes. You can just say, okay, ask the bartender what's in a White Russian. And, of course, an increasing number of devices can be now controlled via the smart speaker. The Anova Wi-Fi Precision Cooker works directly with a Google Home. You can say, okay, Google, ask Anova to start cooking, or tell Anova to set my cooker's temperature to 150 degrees. You can also check on the status of the of what's being cooked and ask for cooking guides. It seems like, you know, it would be easier just to walk over and look at the thing.
Yeah, I just generally look up all that information and then go cook it. But, eh, each to their own.
I don't really like electronic recipes. I prefer hard copy. Mm-hmm. It just, a tablet does not work well in a kitchen because the damn screen goes dark.
Or it gets gunk
on it. Absolutely. Yeah, I just the
kitchen's not a good place for a phone.
No.
Kind of like a bathroom.
Or tablet.
Maybe a speaker, though, that waits for you to say, okay, next step, and then we'll step through.
The thing about it is when you read through in a recipe, then you kind of have it in your mind, you know, what your plan of action is going to be. You got your game plan going together.
It'd still be nice for it to, you know, spout out line-by-line instruction and just be like, okay, so what do I add next? And it tells you, you know, throw it in there. Okay, well, I can see the point of that.
And just coming out right now.
That would be okay.
Hitting the market right now is the is it Amazon Show?
Yeah, that one that
has a built-in screen, so it can actually display results rather than just give voice results.
Well, it's hardly a speaker at that point. It's just another tablet.
Well, primarily it has voice, but it does also display a picture.
Right.
It's got basically a tablet screen built into it. But, again, like I said, we're in the bag phone era on a lot of these things. And it's going to evolve rapidly in the next couple of years.
Just like it already has.
And finally, one of Google Home or Amazon Alexa or the up-and-coming Microsoft speaker, useful features, streaming capabilities. You can say, Alexa, stream an episode of Boomer Tech Radio.
Yeah. That's what you're already doing right
now,
though.
That's shameless self-promotion.
Yeah, but it'll do it.
It will do it. We have tested TuneIn Radio, actually streamed an episode. Now, right now, TuneIn is getting the radio station's feed, commercials and all. But, of course, you can subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, and get the or the Boomer Tech Radio website, and get the edited down version of this without all the spots. But we will say that our sponsor is Advanced Automotive, and we love them very much. So let's see what else we got here before we get hit the bottom of the hour. Interesting. USA Today is asking FBI to help them with their Facebook page.
Need to add some more selfies or what?
Well, the newspaper is getting bombarded by spam accounts, and it is something like this. It'll get a status update that's pure gibberish, but still ends up with thousands of likes. Obviously, something's going on here because they are bot accounts.
Trying to overwhelm the site? Is that what's going on? I mean, what would be the purpose?
Well, that is, it is thought maybe it's an attempt to freeze the site through what amounts to a DDoS attack, a distributed denial of service.
Mm-hmm. But that would just take down Facebook. It wouldn't take down their page in particular. It's kind of odd.
Facebook said back in April there was a coordinated attempt behind the spam that was then targeting. So why is somebody focusing their efforts on picking on these specific sites like USA Today, and why is the FBI suddenly involved in it?
Well, it still would be a crime, a cyber crime of some sort, if you're doing malicious things online. You know, the laws haven't quite caught up, but still illegal.
Now, last month, Facebook went out of its way to try to eliminate, quote, fake news being posted by spam bots, which, of course, are computer systems that just generate and squirt out these stories, create an account, put a bunch of fake stories out, and then move on to another account. Matter of fact, okay, I have lost track of the number of friend requests on Facebook from somebody who would have absolutely nothing in common with. And it's clearly just an attempt to get me to add them, because some people just add anybody, you know.
Yeah, and you check their profile, and
it's blank.
A bunch of nothing, or a bunch of...
Like, or it's a down-the-cleavage shot. It's like, oh, okay, this is not a person I need in my circle.
No.
If you're that proud of the girls, you know, all well and good, but I'm not interested. So, let's see here. Finally, before we hit the bottom of the hour break, how about the Pokemon Go blogger?
Yeah, that guy over in Russia that got arrested in last year, I think, or late last year, he was sitting there playing Pokemon Go in a church blogging about it. And they actually, like, the Russian authorities came
this
down on him.
This is against the law.
Right. It's like, what was it?
It's not a blasphemy law, but it's a law that has to do with insulting
a religion.
Yeah.
No,
and the Russians are big on this in an Orthodox church.
Yeah. So... But, yeah, they found him guilty of insulting a religion. So he got charged and tried and all the rest of that. It's crazy. He's only 22 and he was just blogging about it. But, now he's in jail.
Yep.
It's crazy.
So. Hey, we come back after this. We're going to have an interview with Jim Berry, the digital answer man from the Consumer Technology Association, up next on Boomer Tech Radio.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
The Reading Rodeo has been inducted into the PRCA Hall of Fame as one of the top rodeos in the nation. Come see what makes the Reading Rodeo a recipient of this great honor as the Reading Rodeo takes place May 17th through the 20th. 4 days of action-packed rodeo with free performances of the Wrangler Million Dollar Silver Tour Rodeo. Wednesday and Thursday night are family night, and Friday is tough enough to wear pink night. Sponsored by Pendleton Whiskey. Saturday night, it's the Wrangler Champions Challenge as the top 10 in each event compete for an $80,000 purse. Every night will feature a Chuckwagon Races specialty act. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets, go online to ReadingRodeo.com or visit the Rodeo Box Office at the Reading Rodeo Grounds Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6. Order by phone at 241-8559. Reading Rodeo annual stake feed is Saturday, May 13th. Follow the Reading Rodeo on Facebook. The Reading Rodeo Grounds roar to life for the annual Reading Rodeo.
Summer's On Us sales event is back at Reading Kia, and it's amazing.
Let's go, summer!
Get 0% financing for 66 months and make no payments for 5 months. Plus, Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you.
You could use all of that money you're saving to have a great summer vacation.
This offer good on all new 2017 Kia Sorentos, Optimas, Souls, and Fortes.
If you're in the market for a new car anytime within the next 5 months, don't let this great deal pass you by. The Summer's On Us sales event is back at Reading Kia,
where every vehicle sold comes with free lifetime oil changes and tire rotations.
Come visit Reading Kia's brand new dealership and see for yourself on approval of credit plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, any electronic filing charge, and any emission testing fee. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for Summer's On Us offer. 0% for 66 months is $15.15 per 1,000 finance. Sale ends July 10th.
We both own Kias and we love them. Reading Kia, Facebook, YouTube,
ReadingKia.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Taking America back is more than merely voting for the right candidate and expecting him alone to turn a morally bankrupt country around. What made and will continue to make America great is a country who allows God his rightful place. Without godly Christian values, there's no absolute standard for our courts to judge by, and no standard to hold our politicians accountable. People must experience a change of heart. That only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
And we're back with Boomer Tech Radio. It's our last half hour here. I want to thank people who are checking in with. By the way, our theme music composed and performed by George Wood. It's called 8-Bit Junkie off the PodSafe Music Network and is being used by permission. All right, so we're going to do a little Jeopardy here. I'm going to give the answer, and then Alan will ask the question. The answer is so long, and thanks for all the fish.
And the answer to the question is that scientists are predicting that AI scripts will be able to figure out what dolphins are saying by 2021. That's pretty darn close.
That's amazing.
So what they're doing is... over in at Gavagni AB, they're collecting all sorts of dolphin speak, and they're recording them. They know they're talking a language because dolphins are extremely smart. They sit there and chatter to one another. They pause for the other ones to reply, you know, like a conversation would, you know, flow a conversation. So they're gathering all sorts of noises and all things, and they're going to have it running through AI until they're able to figure out what exactly they're communicating.
Yeah, but do we want to know?
I know.
Right. I mean, dolphins could
they could be
really
mocking
so
humans.
Long and thanks for all the fish.
They probably are mocking you.
They like, train the scientists to give them fish in return for doing these goofy tricks.
Yeah, look at that guy.
It's the Enigma game for dolphin speak.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're like, yeah, the only reason you have any good is because you got opposable thumbs, jerk.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting because if you are very close to a dolphin, and we've been inches away, albeit through a glass panel, we were at an aquarium in Florida, and the darn thing was very, I mean, you knew there was something going on.
Well, they're cognizant of everything around them.
Yeah, they were obviously, it was obviously eyeballing us pretty thing. It's like probably thinking, oh my God. I've never seen anything quite like that. And they do. They play.
They're playing with their bubbles.
Yeah, they blow bubble rings and go through them and stuff like that. They're interesting creatures. But when I come back in another life as an animal, I'm coming back as a sea otter.
So back in
January. A river otter. Yeah, right.
A river otter. Back in January when we did this show live from Las Vegas, one of our guests was Jim Barry, the Consumer Technology Association answer man. And actually, CTA reached out to us here at Boomer Tech and offered us some more of Jim's insights just in time for Mother's Day. So we've got that interview coming up.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's always good to have these people on as guests to provide some kind of perspective on the larger picture of things.
So we'll have the interview, and then after that, we will come back and finish up this half hour of Boomer Tech Radio.
Berry from the Consumer Technology Association, and Jim is the digital answer man. Jim, welcome to Boomer Tech Radio.
Nice to be with you again, Bob.
I believe that we talked down there at the Consumer Electronics Show at CES back in January, but here we are coming up on, of course, the summer season and Mother's Day, and so my mom is one of those people who really, I tried to get her a tablet. She goes, no, I just want books. And we see a lot of reluctance. I see people in an older age bracket who just embrace the technology and just run with it. Other people still consider, you know, anything fancier than a fax machine to be too newfangled. So how about some suggestions maybe to ease somebody into a digital mindset?
Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right that it's interesting that there are these myths about electronics and technology that it's, you know, the oldest one, of course, is just toys for boys, which, by the way, it is. But it's also in everybody's life these days. And women buy as much as half of all the technology, and we buy $287 billion of it this year in the U.S., And an interesting thing, too, this becomes a big part, for many years, the biggest time for purchasing technology is the holidays, Christmas and Hanukkah and so forth. But the graduation and Father's Day, the springtime, has been a big time for years. And in the last several years, it's kind of morphed into what we used to call dads and grads, is now moms and dads and grads, as more folks will buy tech for Mother's Day. This year, the tech market for Mother's Day is going to be $2.3 billion estimated. That's up from about $1.5 billion last year. So that's about 20% of the $20 billion that's spent for Mother's Day, which includes, of course, flowers and chocolates and out to dinner and stuff. So that's a significant part of it, and I think an indication also of what you were indicating there, that technology is in just about everyone's lives, certainly in women of all ages, so that moms might really appreciate some tech product.
Now, one of the things I've told people who've called my show is that rather than spring for, say, a top-of-the-line smartphone or a really fancy tablet, scale it back a bit and maybe go with something similar like a Kindle Fire, which is really very cheap.
Right.
A Fire HD can be had for less than $70 right now.
Yeah.
An entry-level handset, because most moms, unless they're really getting into this stuff, aren't necessarily needing the latest and greatest. An entry-level handset will do a lot of what they do. Any other advice?
Well, you're right on that, although it's interesting, some surveys I've seen that moms, and I think this probably skews, I didn't see all the detail on it, to younger moms. Moms are users of smartphones more than the general population. So I think of the young moms I'd see out at Little League games or soccer games and that kind of stuff who are multitasking. So I think that certainly makes sense. But the ones that you mentioned, certainly the Kindle Fire, very easy to use. And a lot of these, the smaller tablets, inexpensive tablets, what I've found is that even for resistors of new technology, once they get into using these, they find they are so easy to use and they do a lot of things very, very simply. You know, the Amazon ones, of course, are designed to make it easy for you to buy stuff. I mean, Amazon is a retailer. But when you use those, you will find, when people use them, you'll find that they use them more. And after a while, they'll say, wow, I'm not sure how I got along without this. Another good example of that is, speaking of Amazon, is the Echo, also known as Alexa, that personal assistant that you talk to. Google is now in the market with theirs called Google Home. There are rumors, of course, that Apple will be in it, but there will be a lot more of these voice-activated personal assistants. Now, they're very easy to use, very inexpensive. Again, $50 to get the Echo Dot, the smaller one of those. And then once you start using those, you find, you know, checking the weather, checking the news, shopping, of course. All of those things become very, very easy to use. And in my experience with a few folks who resist some of this technology. Once they start using them, they really like using them. The Kindle also, you mentioned, the e-book readers, whether it's the Kindle or the Nook, which are the two primary ones, once folks use them, they find for some applications they're really, really useful, especially for folks who travel. My wife is a librarian, so and I'm also a real book guy. I'm an old guy who likes my paper books, my hardcovers in particular, but I travel a lot. So my Kindle reader is great because I can put a ton of books on there and then I don't have to carry big, heavy books. So I think we're in a stage right now where we're making that transition, but a lot of these tech gifts would make a really terrific gifts for Mother's Day.
Yeah, and it's no secret that not long, that it's been 2 years now since the Echo just hit the market, and just it was a surprise hit. Amazon was very smart. They brought it out without a lot of fanfare, without a lot of expectations, and people suddenly said, this thing is really cool. I mean, I know a lot of people who have them close to the kitchen so they can do a hands-free timer or check the weather real fast or first thing in the morning. And I do see now that Microsoft is opening up Cortana, the API there, to bring out maybe their own line of connected speakers and other devices. Amazon now has a screen accompanied Echo device. So, and of course, we're all hearing about Apple kind of biding their time to bring out their own line. Now, it seems that especially as these AIs get better and better, it's still pretty easy to confuse one. But it seems that we are, and one of the talks that was given at CES was about this very vertical curve right now in the abilities of AI, something that was strictly science fiction just 5 years ago is now daily advice. What else... go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, these things actually, digital assistants actually combine two of the most difficult things to accomplish, as I'm sure the talk that you heard was pointing out. One is artificial intelligence and the other, or machine learning, and the other is the voice recognition part of this. And that's something that has really jumped ahead. You know, I saw one survey that in the mid-90s when Microsoft started on voice recognition, that there was, and other companies did at the same time as well, the voice-to-error rate, they call the VER, was 95%. Meant of 100 words, they got 95 of them wrong. So that wasn't very good. By 2013, it was down to about 25%. Much better, still not really good. And now, within just the last 3 or 4 years, it's gotten down to virtual hearing, human hearing. So that's not 100%. It's never 100%. But it's gotten that much better. So I think you're right. The other thing that I think is going to mitigate for these becoming very successful, you're absolutely correct, Bob, that Amazon introduced this very softly and quietly, but they've sold a couple million of them, and the more people use them, and the more word of mouth has gotten around that more people use them. Google now in the market, and the others will be coming soon, but it has a couple of things. One, it's very easy to use. It does things that people want to do, and the third thing is it's very inexpensive. Again, starting for $50 or so for the dot version of the Echo. So with those things in combination, I think it is going to continue on a pretty steep adoption curve.
Looking forward to now, we never know what somebody's going to be introducing at CES and similar events, but we are seeing especially LED lighting is really becoming the norm. Extremely thin OLED based televisions that use very minimal power. Anything else that you're hearing from within the industry that we should be getting excited about?
Well, those things certainly are a few of them. And a couple of other interesting things that, you know, have been, I think, are on the cusp this year of or really seeing whether they are going to become a big thing or whether the applications will be limited for wide consumer adoption. One is drones. Drones are terrific, have lots of uses, certainly commercial uses and small business uses. But whether or not they become a real big consumer product past the hobbyist market, I think will be proven out this year. We bought a couple million of them just at the holidays last year. And, of course, drones have been around for a good long time, but it was really the last 3 or 4 years, the marriage of the action camcorder, of the now high-def cameras on these flying robots that have really made them take off. So that's one thing. The other thing that, as you saw a lot of, we also saw a lot of at CES, is virtual reality. And the virtual reality headsets, which, again, had a big year last year, but not quite as big as some folks had predicted. This year we'll see whether or not that becomes an even bigger phenomenon. And again, you've got there, you have the ones, the headsets that you slip a smartphone into. Some of these are as little, well, the cardboard ones are $10 or so. Lots of others under $100. And then you have the VR headsets that you plug into either a video game console, the PlayStation VR, for instance, from Sony, or the ones like the Vive from HTC that you plug into a PC. Those are more stationary, but again, they transport you to another dimension. Gamers, of course, absolutely spectacular. Now, they have, again, commercial opportunities with those, people using them in real estate and for travelogues to see if you're going to take that cruise, what would you actually see. And the second part of that whole reality, virtual reality, is augmented reality, which means taking physical reality, what we're doing every day, and then overlaying onto that some images or characters. Think Pokemon Go. Again, this has both commercial and consumer possibilities. We're going to see a lot more of that this year, and I think at CES next year we'll see a lot more of that too.
Jim, I'm going to throw out two topics and let you go and let you comment on them in the time that we have left. Two topics: infrastructure bandwidth. All of this stuff takes a lot of data moving from place to place, mm-hmm. and the U.S. is woefully behind on that. The other thing is privacy concerns. So I'll let you address those, and then it'll turn you loose.
Yeah, those are two, of course, of the overriding or underlying issues in this entire transition to digital technology, and now this Internet of Things or Internet of Everything, whereas 50 years ago, the air above you out there in Northern California, above me here in New England, anywhere you went, the air above us was being used by a couple, maybe as many as 8 or 10 TV and radio stations, and the police and fire and some ham radio operators. That's who was using the airways above us for communications. Today, everybody is. Literally, everyone is using that. We made some steps forward this year. You know, the government freed up some of that airspace, the spectrum, for these kind of uses. A lot of it has been held by the TV stations over the years, and much of it was not necessary for them because of the use of digital technology. Now digital broadcast uses less of that space. So that's one step forward, but we're going to need to, and that's one thing that CTA does in Washington, works with legislators and regulators to make sure that we use the technology. We don't stifle technology by legislation and so forth. You know, the best thing to do is to give it a good leaving alone, foster competition. So that's the one thing on bandwidth. We are making some progress there, but as more and more devices, again, Internet of Things, literally everything, are using it, we're going to need to monitor that and need to use more of it. Privacy is the other one. You know, we've been talking about this since people started using wireless phones 30 or so years ago. And again, it becomes more important as we have the connected homes, the Internet of Things. It's a much bigger issue than we have time to talk about.
Absolutely.
Here in the short term. But I will say this, for most folks with just about anything that you use, especially you got wireless in your home, that's about 75% of households now, use the privacy tools that come with the equipment that you get. Surprising thing, or maybe not, a lot of people learn that people do not even use basic password protections for their wireless in their homes. Or if they do use a password, they use password.
The default,
or
yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So don't do that. Use the basics and get it at least to start. It's just like locking your door at night, even in a safe neighborhood. Take that step.
All righty. Well, we got to let you go due to time constraints. But Jim Berry, CTA's digital answer man, thank you very much. We're going to have to do this again in the not-too-distant future.
Will do it, Bob. My pleasure.
And Jim Berry, Consumer Technology Association. Jim makes a good point there towards the end. A couple of things that we've talked about quite a bit on this show.
Set a password.
Set a password on your router. Take it out of the box. And now I've noticed that the last RETT UVerse one has a complex password on a sticker on the side of the modem.
That's to cover people that refuse to set one.
Right. It no longer, but there's still a lot of these old D-Link and who's the other cheap router company that I'm not thinking of? There's D-Link and then there's Netgear.
Linksys?
Netgear's middle
Linksys.
Of the road, but yeah. But yeah, something like that.
But for a long time, those routers, access was admin, and the password was just password.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably a couple of million of these particular old routers that have been set up in a business somewhere and just stuck in a closet with a bunch of wires hanging out of them, and they still are very vulnerable.
People don't check in to see what they need to change, or IT at the company is unaware of their existence, and it only takes one vulnerable spot to have the whole company be vulnerable.
Yeah, so if you are at a small business and you are aware of this stuff, let the management know that they're kind of leaving their drawers down to for some intrusion.
Yeah, especially if you have some sort of free wireless service, then anybody connected to that will be able to access that router, no problem.
Okay, and do I have to repeat myself again that if you're sitting in a coffee shop or restaurant and you see you're trying to get on and you see free Wi-Fi, make sure that you ask somebody, is this really your legitimate Wi-Fi connection? Because it could be somebody sitting in a car in the parking lot who wants you to connect up to their computer, and you're trying to enter your passwords and stuff, and they're just collecting all your data.
Yep. Right. They have no problem collecting that.
Good way to get malware installed without even knowing it.
Yeah, because you're essentially opening yourself up to these folks.
You connect directly to their device, so that's not exactly safe for you either.
Oh, by the way, Alan, I'm not a absolute Mac fanatic. I use the tool that works for the particular job. But what was your impression on the new MacBook Pro? I think that they really took a couple of steps backwards with it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things lacking on it. But I unfortunately don't look too deeply into what goes on with the new MacBook Pro going on. So
now, I do like to work on Mac OS because it makes a lot of things just a whole lot simpler.
Mm-hmm.
Although, in defense of Windows, they have improved a lot of the things that were very, very annoying. Certainly, they've come a long ways since Windows 8.
Right. Yeah, Windows 8 was kind of a low point.
I work in either... I use the tool that works for the application. And a lot of people will say, well, what computer should I buy? I don't know. What do you want to do with it?
Right. Depends on what you want to do. I mean, for the most part, most people will do just fine with almost any computer.
Yeah. For the most part, we a friend of ours asked us to recommend just a we found her a nice laptop. And I'm thinking it was a Dell. And it was under $500.
Yeah,
it was a pretty that was a pretty solid machine for under $500.
If you use it for internet browsing, then that's going to be perfectly fine, or word processing, or email, or whatnot.
Yeah, unless you're, an i5 processor is perfectly adequate for 90% of the stuff that most people do. Now, if you're doing some super end gaming or video editing, you shouldn't be using a $600 computer.
Well, and you'd probably know what you're doing anyway at that point.
Yeah, so that's – I had to reach over and click a button there. That is the end of another program, another podcast, another show on KCNR. We want to thank you very much for listening to Boomer Tech Radio, boomertechradio.com, or you can email us, boomertechradio@gmail.com. It's Bob and Brendan Allen saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe, be good to each other.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. Authorities say an inmate being treated at a hospital outside Chicago is now holding an employee hostage after taking a gun from a correctional officer. Kane County Sheriff's Office says SWAT teams and crisis negotiators arrived this afternoon at the scene at Delnor Hospital in Geneva, about 40 miles west of Chicago. The standoff has been contained to one section of the emergency room, which has been cleared of patients. No one's being allowed in. The rest of the hospital remains open. At least five potential FBI directors interviewing at the Justice Department aboard Air Force One today. President Trump says there are several good candidates.
Almost all of them are very well known. You know, they've been vetted over their lifetime, essentially.